Good evening. I call to order this July 11th, 2023 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting, and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable, and I will do everything to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with this meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you, and you can come to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak, and direct your remarks to me, city council, or the city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with a roll call of members.
Hafer? Here. Paulson?
Here.
Schenck?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sandholm? Ferrari?
Here.
Heifel?
Here.
All members except Sandholm present.
Thank you. We will also move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand and join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote. Did it come up?
No.
My bad. I've been gone a while.
It's okay.
He's been gone a while. Retrain.
Council members present voting aye.
Wonderful. Motion passes. Item number 5. Could we have Chris Jensen come forward, please?
Come on to the front.
Come up to the front.
I am presenting tonight to Mr. Chris Jensen in recognition of and appreciation for his dedication and leadership as a member of the Blair City Council from 2008 to 2022, 14 years of dedicated service. He definitely had a passion for Blair. And I have some little cakes for him tonight because...
And I'll share them with everybody.
Because he asked me, I said, will you come and let us recognize you? We didn't get a chance to do it last spring, and I wanted to do it tonight. And he said, sure, but may I have cake and a key to the city? And I said, well, I don't know. So you're going to get little pre-bought cakes and a pin, a city pin tonight. Chris Jensen was very good about eating my cookies. When I was a council member, I made cookies for just about every single meeting. And since I became mayor, I haven't done it yet. So that just shows you how much more busy you are when you're a mayor. But I will get some cookies made for you and anybody else who wants to partake. But
just make sure you get a list and just give it to her pre-meeting.
Right, that's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a really great experience, so thank you.
Chris.
Oh, it's a box.
Unless you want to put it on your shelf.
I'll put it on the shelf.
You don't have to dust it.
Thank you.
Item number 6. Consider approval of Robert Horst as a new member of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Chief Leonard.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Joe Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, 1303 Maple Drive. I'm here for approval of Bob Horst. He is a retired nurse from Blair Hospital. Some of you may have seen him up there. He recently went through the application process, and now we're here for approval from you guys.
Wonderful. Does Mr. Horst want to come forward?
Hello.
Hello.
Bob Horst,
H-O-R-S-T.
And your address?
I live in Blair.
Don't be nervous.
1141 Still Meadow Circle.
Wonderful.
I've lived here since 2017. I've worked at the hospital since 2006 in the emergency room.
Wonderful.
I'm an RN there.
Well, we thank you for considering becoming a member of our department and appreciate your dedication. All right, so.
You need a motion?
I believe we do.
I'll make a motion to approve Robert Horst as new member of Blair Volunteer Fire Department.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Robert Horst as a new member of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Please vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Congratulations and thank you. Item number 7. I'm opening a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Article 8, Section 805.4, exceptions by adding garage repair to the list of accepted uses in the Office Park District. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, council members. This is the one item that was before the Planning Commission this last week. Jeff Meyer from Fireman is not feeling well tonight, so he asked me to step in for him. So glad to be able to do this again. I was at the Planning Commission meeting as well, so kind of can fill you in on some of the discussion that was had regarding this particular item. One of the things I do want to emphasize to you is we're dealing with a book change tonight. And so this is a request to change the zoning regulations in the OPD or Office Park District area. It's very important to remember then that you're dealing with a broad issue here. Now there is one particular application. You may have gotten a phone call from the person who's applying for this and wants to do a particular project. That's wonderful, that's great, we're very supportive of that. But you need to really remember tonight you're dealing with a broad issue, because this potentially then would affect all areas around town that are zoned Office Park District. And what we're requesting is that you would add as one of the accepted uses what's called a repair garage. Now it's listed as a garage, what type of garage? A repair garage. So it's a little different in the book, which is why it's listed out the way that it is. But this would add it as an accepted use, which means that it would require a conditional use permit. And the key things that you really need to understand when it comes to conditional use permits is how valuable they are to both the Planning Commission and to ultimately to you making the final determination, because it allows you two important things that begin with C: control and conformity with the surrounding area. It allows you to kind of regulate some of those particular issues. I know there had been some discussion, since it's a repair garage, and repair garages are allowed by right in something like a light industrial area, you could potentially rezone this area to light industrial. In fact, there's light industrial south of Wilbur on 10th Street. But this particular area is Office Park, and it was Office Park because it's intended to be a buffer for the area. May need a new device even.
How's that?
That works. I think the maps are next. Why don't you go to the next screen?
Sure.
Yeah, so this gives you a little sense of, again, we're dealing with Office Park District, which is this purple area here. Again, the actual application that may come before you in the next meeting or two is in this general area. But we're dealing with land that's north of Wilbur Street. South of Wilbur Street, along the new 10th Street, is light industrial. But we historically have very few or limited design standards in our regulations. And therefore, if someone builds something that's allowed by right in a particular area and it doesn't require things like landscaping or doesn't specify the look of the facility at all, the building, then we really can't regulate those things at all. With Office Park District, though, in a conditional use permit, you're allowed to place reasonable conditions upon that. And part of those reasonable conditions can be the appearance of this particular zoning district and kind of the look and feel that you're ultimately after. And so by allowing this change here in Office Park District, if you allowed it someplace, then again, you could place those regulations. Aaron, go back a little if you could, because we did add some specific language to this. One more. So you'll notice up here, ultimately what we're asking, in the regulations right now that are in the definition, so again, we're applying or suggesting that you would apply a particular use in Office Park District, and what you would apply would be, or allow, would be repaired garages. But repair garages in the definition, in addition, allow all sales and services that are provided for with an automobile service station to be allowed at a repair garage. Because oftentimes, and maybe you don't see it quite so much today at a quick shop or something like that, but in the good old days when you had oftentimes a gas station, there was a repair garage component to that where they would work on your tires or do in oil changes for you, some things like that. And of course, food sales and pops and drinks and some things like that was a part of it. That has become more and more of an issue now with, or something that would be provided with automobile service stations. So we felt like it was important, as we're adding this now to Office Park District, that we specifically specify some language in here that would say we're adding repair garage, again, as an accepted use, except there shall be no sale of cold drinks, packaged foods, tobacco, similar convenience goods typically sold at automobile service stations, unless sold through vending machines. It gets a little wordy there, but the whole point was we're not looking for allowing, ultimately, convenience stores in this particular area. A convenience store really should be located on Highway Commercial. We don't want that here at Office Park. And again, Aaron, as you go forward now, one more slide. This is the definition here for the automobile service stations. And so these definitions kind of build on each other. Repair garages allow automobile service stations. Automobile service stations allow these sales. Because again, think convenience store, quick shop, things like that. But you oftentimes would find a business, especially maybe a repair business, where you've got a pop machine in there. Maybe it's a machine that has a quick-to-go sandwiches or something like that. We're not saying that that wouldn't be allowed in these places. We're just trying to keep the convenience stores away. So again, next screen. So again, here's the broader area. I think one more area that kind of zooms in on just that particular area. So right now, it was always designed as a buffer between the residential area and the heavier industrial areas around there. We really want to try to keep that look and feel and that buffer between residential and the industrial, which is why our recommendation is, again, that you just go ahead and add the definition, but we'll continue to do it with the conditional use permit, allows the Planning Commission to recommend reasonable conditions, you can apply those, keeps the integrity, and yet, by most indications, driving along Office Park, whether it's an office building, whether it's a convenience store, contractor's yard, if everything's behind the fence, you can require some landscaping in the front. All of it would look compatible. It's just the use that might be slightly different. So I'll answer any questions that any of you might have for me.
Which lot in question, or do we know that at this time that we're
wondering? Sure. The application that will come before you happens to be this particular lot down here. In fact, he's looking at bringing to you an actual small little subdivision. So there'd be a small street cul-de-sac that would potentially go in this area. The applicant also owns this property just immediately to the north, which currently is zoned RMH, but if he brings this forward, he's probably going to come forward then with a rezone for that particular lot as well, to have that rezone to Office Park District. Therefore, all of the individual lots that he would be developing and selling off would still have that same requirement if they chose to do a repair garage on that individual lot, that they would have to come and get a conditional use permit for each one of those. Whereas again, if this was rezoned like industrial and the whole thing then was an industrial park, you lose a lot of that control.
Well, the only question I have is the concern if this is going to be a buffer, and that's what it was designed to do, you're adding something that potentially could no longer be a buffer.
Well,
that's the only issue I have.
There's always a concern there. I think the buffer was an appearance issue more than a use issue. Repair garages, by and large, don't make lots of noise. I mean, sometimes during the day, obviously, inside the garage itself. But there's not a lot of activity outside,
right,
which you would have over in the industrial area here. You might have, if it was maybe a little bit lighter industrial, where they'd have some equipment. One of the requirements here will always be that it'll have to be behind a fence, either a wooden fence, or several places in town, the Planning Commission and the Council has usually required, if it's going to be a chain link fence, then you have to have the slats in them So at least any equipment that is stored outside is not easily seen from the street.
But you understand the concern?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why I really think it's important for all of you to understand that, because you're really the buffer that has to make sure that those reasonable conditions are applied when you go forward. But again, this gives you the control to be able to do that, to make sure that's done.
So you're adding the definition, but if someone was to bring a CUP up, we could still not approve it?
You always have the rights to not approve a conditional use permit because you feel that it's not the right part of town or not the right area that's zoned Office Park District. So the way I've oftentimes described it is when you have something that is an accepted use for a certain zoning district, you're automatically saying it could go some places in this zoning district, but not necessarily every place. So there needs to be some places in Office Park District that you feel comfortable that repair garages could go. Now again, this is a repair garage with the limitation that it's not going to have food and drink sales other than through vending machines. So you're keeping away from convenience stores, you're allowing a repair garage of some kind. And then you can put limitations or requirements for landscaping, for fencing, all those kinds of issues.
Why are we adding the definition if we then can turn around and say, yes, the definition is in here for this particular lot, but we don't...
It's not a particular lot, it's a particular zoning
district.
Zoning.
But we still could vote against it.
Right, and that's just the way accepted uses work. Again, the principle is it's allowed some places, but not necessarily everywhere. If you thought everywhere was okay, you'd put it in as a regular use, and it could just be done by right, and they never have to come and ask for permission. But the philosophy is by having it as an accepted use, some places, but not maybe every place. If I am going to allow it in certain places, there's going to be reasonable conditions that we're going to place upon it, because you're looking for that control over the appearance and over how it's going to be utilized. Sometimes with conditional use permits, they put restrictions on the hours, they put restrictions on where the parking can go.
There's accountability is also in view there.
Yes.
Do we have any comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing.
I'll introduce ordinance number 2507.
An ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning ordinance Article 8, Section 80504, exceptions by adding garage repairs, repealing all orders of conflict here, providing this one shall be full force in effect, and providing this one shall be published in pamphlet form.
I move that the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question
for the council is, so the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2507.
Second. Ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning ordinance Article 8, Section 805.04, exceptions by adding garage repairs, repealing all ordinance of conflict herewith, providing this ordinance should be full force in effect, providing this ordinance should be published in pamphlet form.
Andrew, go ahead and do that again.
Oh, I skipped one then. Okay. I move for final passage of ordinance number 2507.
Thank you.
Second.
Question.
Question for the council is, shall ordinance 2507 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 8, resolution 2023-28 to approve the plans and specifications for Generations Park and authorization to go out for bid. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Or Madam Mayor. I just rolled out really way too easy.
Hey, that's all right.
It's when you're thinking about one thing and your mouth is saying
something. I'll answer.
Wow.
Knew it was going to happen sometime. All right. Well, I am pleased tonight that we are bringing to you the plans and specs for Generations Park. At the last council meeting, a presentation was made about this. Again, the plans have been out for you to observe in Spark. Eric Casper with JBO is here to kind of review some of the drawings. I know there were some questions that some of the council members had regarding especially trail access to the back of the amphitheater. I had sent an email to a couple of you. Hopefully that answered some questions. If you have more questions here, we can go over those and look at some of those drawings in detail. These plans are all marked as 90% plans. That's pretty typical when they're at this stage waiting for just final production. And so there really are no anticipated changes to this. Now, I will let you know, and I've already let JEO know, that there's a couple little places where sidewalk is. I'm kind of a weird fanatic when it comes to sidewalk and walking around, because I've seen enough people where they build the sidewalk a certain way, but I know that's not where people want to walk. They're gonna, when you have a big curve, but they're ultimately heading over here, they're gonna want to walk that way. And so there's a couple places where we might widen out the concrete a little bit, or you know, broaden the curve, something like that. Just a couple little tweaks like that that I might suggest to them. But by and large, these are the drawings, and what we're really requesting for you from you tonight is to ultimately accept these bids, place them on file, or these drawings, place them on file, and then authorize JEO to go out for bid. We originally were looking at getting that done probably sometime next week. Might be another week or two out. We did find out through the grant that we had received from the Nebraska Game and Parks that they need to review the plans before we can put them out for bid. So there may be a short delay there of a week or two. But with your approval tonight, we'll get all that done as quickly as possible, get it out for bid. And we're still pretty much on track to try to receive those back sometime in August. That would allow us about 30 days to review them and then potentially sign contracts if the bids come in within what we're expecting and hoping for sometime mid-September, and still be able to get some work started then this year. So I'm going to have Eric come up. He can kind of walk through any of the drawings that he wants to show us. If you got some questions, we'll try to look at specific drawings that may be in there, and then you can make your motion if you want.
Sure. Thanks, Bill. Eric Casper, CASPER, with JEO Consulting Group, 2000 Q Street, Lincoln, Nebraska. Yes, as Phil mentioned, these are pretty much almost the finalized set here. Tonight I brought just kind of some select drawings for you to just kind of review. There is a full set of plans in the back that are back on the table. If you want to look through the full 60 sheet set, I don't plan to go through all 60 sheets with you here tonight. I just kind of picked out some select ones to kind of run down. I know some of you had some questions last time, so I thought we would just bring the layouts and the building plans as well here. So this is this is our site, blank site, and the library, just to kind of get you oriented here. There we go. So this is the current layout plan. We have roughly about 40 parking stalls in there now. We are looking at adding a bid alternate for a charging station for a grant that you might be applying for. So we're currently coordinating that piece right now to try to get a charging station located in there for electric vehicles. We've got 10 basketball, the pickleball courts, the park shelter, restroom facility, the playground, splash pad, and then the bid alternate for the amphitheater down there. And as Phil mentioned, we're just in the process of coordinating, trying to get these all put together next week and stamped and sent over to Game and Parks for them to do their review. So no design changes from this on. We're just trying to document what we have at this point and get them wrapped up to get them out for bid. This shows just the grading plan here. We kind of split the site in two to have our contractors. Basically everything in the front of the draw, I apologize, these are kind of light here, but everything is ADA accessible through there. There are no stairs, there are no ramps, there are no handrails. Everything is less than 5% slope, so everything is accessible through the park. Oops. Go back. This is the large field out there. It's pretty shallow slope that comes across the field, kind of drains down towards the creek. This is our detention basin off to the south. here. We did have to enlarge that a little bit to encompass the amount of pavement that we do have in the park. And then the sidewalk that travels over to the amphitheater here, as you can tell, these contours represent 1 foot. All of these are less than 5% slope for a gathering area out front of the amphitheater and then access up to the stage. Might have had you move these here. There we go. Yes.
Can you talk about the retention pond just a little bit? Is that open?
Or is it underground? It is a, basically it's a detention pond, or a retention pond, so we're retaining water for a 24-hour period and then it drains down. So all the water from the site here drains into the existing pond that's out there. We're widening it out just a little bit to encompass the as I mentioned, the pavement areas.
Is it going to be fenced?
It is not a wet pond. It is a dry pond.
It's not a wet pond.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So after a severe storm, it might have some water in it for a while, but it's intended then to just slowly dissipate.
Yeah, it'll hold water for 24 hours and then eventually drain out through there. Oops. Goodness. Aaron's. There we go. This is a blow up area, the splash pad. This shows, as I talked about last time I was here, we kind of have this meandering path. It's kind of a river theme with different color pavement here. These items indicate the splash pad components, which are these items here that they're basically off-the-shelf items that we used in a kind of a custom layout form, and it's not just a slab of concrete with a jet out of it. We're trying to create some design elements for it, and so they all drain into these little, what we call the channel, and then this channel is about 1/2 to 3/4 inch of water that kids can then splash. And then that all drains down into this basin here. This basin is actually going to be in this little planting bed here to give it to bring it off the path. We changed that. This is an older drawing. But all these boxes here indicate kind of where the valves are for each one of these. So there's a grouping of splash pads here, a grouping of splash components here, and a grouping up here as well. So then you can activate the piece through these little, there's two activation buttons on the splash pad, so whether you hit one or the other, it'll randomly, the computer randomly puts on the splash components. So the kids never know which ones are gonna turn on or off. And then eventually they all turn on at one time, and they're designed to stay on for a certain period of time and then shut off so that it's not left continually running all the time. I think that comes on for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time.
Are we recycling water, or is this all?
This is not a recycling, okay. A recirculating system. This will go into the actual detention pond area where we will collect the water there and then release it into the creek. So we reviewed that with DEQ, and they're all on board with that, and so that's fine. We didn't want to send this amount of water down the sanitary sewer where you guys would have to treat this, so we had that discussion. Again, the splash pad pieces, and some of the controls. This here kind of shows you we're using some of the rock elements through the park, and we're basically core drilling through that and then bringing the pieces up, and then we're able to utilize some of those natural stone features to kind of create some of those natural elements that the kids can play on and water can shoot out of. Skip this one. These are some of the planting plans here. Again, these are some drawings. We will, sorry for the hatching here, it never shows great. But we do have a lot of trees we're showing throughout the park. See if I can get to the blow up. The center core area is heavily planted with perennials and shrubs, colorful, and then we have shade trees throughout. Here, there we go. You can see some of the trees in here. To create a nice park kind of canopy throughout there with some mostly shade elements and larger trees, honey locust, bur oak, those type of trees, and then accenting with maybe some crab apple or bed bud or different type of trees throughout the park to give it some accent.
Yeah. I wasn't here for the last meeting, so probably I got to ask this question, but is there a time limit that this park will operate?
As far as each day or season?
At night.
All of our parks, I know there's been some discussion, but technically all of the parks are open until midnight. The only one is Black Elk, and just because of some of the challenges that we've had up there is the half hour after dusk. So this would be open until midnight. So we could put a limit on it if the council chooses to.
I think we need to.
Yeah, and speaking of that, this is the lighting plan. I brought that to show each one of these individual ones shows the lights throughout the park. We do have it well illuminated for egress paths. If this was to, you know, if you have an event that stays late, all of these paths out to the parking lot are illuminated into safety standards, 1 foot candle.
Are they low to the ground? Are they high to the ground?
These are tall,
but
about 20 feet tall.
But they're LEDs and they're very directional, I assume.
All the fixtures are all LEDs. They all have cutoffs, and they'll be placed throughout the park. So very efficient lighting plan. And
minimal light pollution?
Minimal light pollution, yeah. Some details, I know we talked about some of the signage and how we can detail some of those pieces with the donor plaques on the wall and how we do this with different letters and nomenclatures to accent the donor wall as we go in, just to show you some of the details. And again, you can see more on the plan set. This is just the floor plan, quick of the restroom and shelter building. So we've got four women's and four men's facilities with a family room changing, and then this is a mechanical room here. And then with, we had a drinking fountain out here too, right there.
Yeah,
drinking fountain. All this would be under shade underneath the canopy piece there. This is hard to see on the plan, but we do have a, this is the canopy piece and how it's detailed out and how it, and the patterns of the canopy itself and how they're put together. We did a shade study to see how much shade was out there to give all this piece some shelter area for people at the park. The plans read a little better than the presentation here. Some elevations, wall sections here. And again, this is CMU block construction with stone veneer on the base. Standing seam metal roof. So these same materials are also used in the amphitheater as well. The amphitheater, this is the stage area of the amphitheater. We have kind of a false wall back here where all the cords and power and all of our power and cord supply for what takes place out here is all the electrical is on the back of this wall. There's a changing station and restroom inside of here, storage on both sides. Some elevations, sections of the amphitheater. Component. And again, this is a bid alternate, be identified on the plans, and so it'll be a separate line item for the library so that they know what the cost for the amphitheater piece is. Corey, anything you want to add?
Just covered most of it.
Some structural components, how everything's put together. I think this pretty much covers everything. Any questions you all have? So again, our plan is to finish up plans and drawings next week. We're just minor coordination items between all the disciplines. Get these sent over to Game and Parks for their approval and review. They told us it would be 4 to 5 days for them to review it. She's on vacation next week, so that's why we're we're just finishing up these things, advertise it for bid, and then try to take bids that last 21st of August. So kind of that last week in August, and have the bids open that week. And then hopefully everything's favorable and can move forward with the project. Thank you.
Thank you,
Eric. Any comments from the public?
Thank you. Cheryl Slominski, Slominski, 2241 Crest Ridge Drive. And first of all, this is a wonderful addition to Blair. I love it. It's right in my backyard, which is fine. My only question is, the basketball court is in my backyard, so, for example, the tennis courts, that bright light, is that going to be like that? Is it going to be shining in my light, in my yard? And then you mentioned having the park closing, you know, not at midnight. And I'm sure it's not possible, but can that basketball court, the pickleball, be more towards the open space where there's not so many homes? So that's not right in your backyard. So that's my concern, is the lights, the bright lights, and when the park closes.
So. What time do you think the park should close?
You know, I love kids at the park being outside, so I would think 10 o'clock would be sufficient. You know, there are kids that at midnight's too late.
Yeah, midnight's too late.
Thank you.
Can you answer a question?
Yes, I can. The basketball court currently doesn't have any lighting on it, just the pickleball court. So the pickleball court, we can put a timer on that, which I think we do, but it would only be operational for a certain period of time. So say it could cut off at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. If that's something that you guys would like, we can have that programmed. So they are LED light fixtures, so they have a cutoff. There's no light that goes backwards that would go into your backyard. It'd be, you know, I guess operations of the park would have to be, you know, we'd have to consider that too. I mean, we can have those light fixtures.
Yeah, but we can set those fixtures so that they wouldn't operate when the park's closed.
I have a question then, and if you can pull up the drawing of where the lights are. Because when I look at this, and maybe I'm not understanding which ones are lights and which ones aren't, it does look like there's a path back there that has lights that run along the backside. Is that not lighting?
Number 12.
Are these up here along that ridge?
Yes.
Zoom in?
Yes.
Is that lighting?
That is.
So, I mean, that's lighting that's going to be right up against the back of her house.
Yes, so we put the lights on this side so they shine away from the houses. And those could also be programmed to come on a certain period of time and turned off. All of it can be programmed to have a cutoff of a certain, say they all go off at 10 o'clock or 9:30 or whatever. The pickleball has lights on it as well, but we did not eliminate the basketball court.
What's that? There on the corner there, we've got that ridge, and then down on the corner, up. What is that?
I believe this is where the power for the building is coming in. This is the pole box here. So these light fixtures, these are lights up here, and these are lights.
So are those just accent lights, the ones that are gonna go across their backyards? Are they just light up the park, or?
They're just emergency egress, so as part of the safety code, life safety code, we have to provide a illuminated path from, if there's an event here or in the park, we have to provide egress path lighting out to a public right of way. So that fulfills that code requirement. We could also look at, and we've talked about this, reducing the amount of lights too.
Well, what if we did pedestal light, if it's just for egress?
We'd have to see if they meet the foot candle requirements.
Yes, sometimes the challenge with the pedestals is they don't cast as far, so you need more of them, and part of what we had been discussing was the cost, pro and con. Yeah.
Yeah, so the lower lights, you actually need more of them, and then they actually cost more than the actual, just having a 15-foot pedestrian pole.
But it might, neighbors might not want those lights on every night, is our concern, so.
Sure. Yeah, well, like I said, well, we can have them programmed to be off when the park closes.
Correct.
So.
But then we're going to have a time limit on the amphitheater too then, right?
I see.
When, you know, something's going on there, we're going to get you over it.
Well, and again, I've not seen what exactly light control and how much options it has. You might have the ability to shut certain ones off automatically, but others are still powered on. If we know there's an event that night, then we can program them a little bit later.
Okay, but
most of the ones I've seen, I know the ones previously where I was at, were programmable and staff could kind of adjust it as
well. I think we've heard some legitimate concerns, so
sure.
Just make sure we take care of it.
Yeah, we were aware of that.
Mayor, I had one more question. How far from the property line are the hedges on those houses? How far from the property line to those courts there, the basketball court?
From this one to the property line?
Yeah. Roughly, how far?
I have. So back to the second sheet here.
That should be the property line, right?
You're probably 40 or 50 feet from here to the edge.
Okay.
From that point to there, because that's a
basketball court being 50 foot wide.
That's
so that'd be a good scaling mechanism.
We
the width of the basketball court's 50 foot.
So okay. Yeah, this is 50 feet here, so you're about the same distance there.
I'm just.
Yeah.
That all comes into play there, so I just.
You bet.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you real quick just show us where those lights are in the back here?
Right, they'll be on the path.
They're on the back side of this piece.
Oh, okay.
They're not on the property line.
They're not on the property line.
They're just adjacent. Right on the back.
You mentioned, Eric, there's a cutoff, right? So the light is intended to move forward, not any dissipation backwards.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, with the LED technology now, like, I'm looking pretty much where you want to.
So just for a point of reference, we're putting new lights up at the ballpark here. They're going up soon. Well, Jim's not here. They're going up soon. And they're same style of light, because they deal with a lot of light pollution, the neighbors do now. And we're being told there won't be any for those neighbors. So we'll take a look at that.
Madam Mayor, City Council members, thank you. Tim Weisar, last name is spelled W-E-I-S-H-A-A-R, 2231 Crestridge Drive, Blair, Nebraska, 68008. First of all, if I could take just a minute and recognize Daryl over here for really keeping us informed on this from right from the inception of this. He's done a really good job of that. And I think we're in favor of it, really are. We're the second lot in that you see here. I do have some questions. One of them that I had a question about is there is a utility right of way in there. I don't know how that plays into it. Have y'all planned for that?
Okay. Yeah, you can grade within the right of way. We haven't. That's why there's nothing up there.
Okay.
Those pieces. Yeah.
And just to echo the same concerns that Brian and Cheryl, they live right beside us, to echo the same concerns that she has, I think you've reasonably, or these folks have reasonably satisfied our concerns about having a time limit on the park and so on. What we don't want, I don't think, and I can speak for most of the property owners along there, we've been out there the longest. We were the first people to move out there, so we know virtually everybody along there. We don't want anything going on regularly at midnight, okay? that's going to be problematic. But the other concern that I have is, Phil, to your point, people want to walk where they want to walk, okay? If you take a look at how that's laid out, I have a real fear that the sidewalk that runs in front of our houses and therefore our side yards could become a conduit for people taking the shortcuts. Y'all have a laser pointer right here. I'll see if I can figure out how to run this.
Yep.
Okay, this is our property line, right? Our property right here. This is Brian and Cheryl's. Our concern is the sidewalk that runs along in front of our property here. If somebody over in here wants to get here, I'm not too sure that they're going to walk around here and go. I'm fearing that they would start walking between our houses. I guess what I would ask about that is there's probably nothing we can do to control that right at this point. But I would ask that maybe there be some, and by the way, I hate fences. I hate mowing around them. I hate maintaining them. I'm sure you all do too. But I would ask that if that becomes a problem, and I'm assuming there is no fence in there right now, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we would sure prefer to keep it that way because it's a lot easier for us to mow and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if that does become a problem, I would maybe ask that y'all be maybe a little more lenient on us if we propose putting a fence up there to stop that. Because I don't, I'm sorry, but I don't want a lot of people walking across my side of my lawn.
Don't blame you.
I had thought about a park at Doberman. I don't
know. Well, yeah, there's lots of things we do. Cattle prods and so on. That's really probably not the best approach. Anyway. So anyway, thank you all.
Thank you. All good concerns. Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
Chief Leonard, do I need to restate everything again like I did earlier? Just where the amphitheater was, my concern is what's the ease of access to that point for us? Are we able to drive on the concrete to that facility in case there is something, if that does get built?
I swear that place is wide. Yeah.
Yes, you should be. It'll be just like our trail system. It'll be as wide as that. If you can access the trail system.
Right.
You can access this.
So, I mean, would we have to enter through the library section or can we come off of the
street? Well, your only entrance for that would be either off of Wright or up on Boss, is my understanding. And so, to your point, I'm wondering, is there a way that we can add an entrance out of the library to give you more ease of access to get to there for safety reasons?
Right.
The trail.
So, yeah, we had several conversations about access, actually, to the amphitheater, too. So, this pathway, basically, is all 10-foot path. And so, should be able to, you know, drive on that. Obviously, not fire truck, per se, but, I mean, it's... It's as big as any of our trails in the normal trail system. The expectation is that there will occasionally be something in the amphitheater that the people that are putting on the show have some larger equipment, sound equipment, some other things like that, maybe just, you know, props and things like that they need to bring. So we wanted to provide drivable access but not encourage it and not necessarily obviously put it in the street. So this comes off the existing parking lot from the library right now. It's right behind some of the parking stalls that are located here at the library. You could technically drive this path, come down here, and we are building a little pull-off zone because the walking trail is right down here. We didn't want to block the walking trail when someone's parked down there. So there's a 10-foot pull-off over here where they can pull off and unload and put things into the amphitheater. Again, my anticipation is, and some of the conversations that I've had with the council members, is that in our use policies, we would clearly state what you could do, why, you know, the only permission we're giving is you've got equipment that can't be hand carried down there, and that would authorize them to be able to pull down here, but the expectation would be that they would then back up in this area and pull back out and just try to keep all of the vehicle traffic into that particular area. Maybe we can end up with some wheeled carts that would be in there. If we find that this is a problem, we may restrict everybody to, sorry, carts are available, you're going to have to cart all your equipment back and forth. There have been some early conversations about the idea that, well, people could pull down here and then when they're done, they can just drive on the trail and come up to the cul-de-sac. But I don't think that's what we want them to do, so we're going to have to be very clear in our use policy on what kind of things are allowed.
So just to clarify, are you saying there is going to be a drive, they can access that trail then from the library, or no, is not a drive?
Well, the concrete will connect, and so you technically could drive. Okay. I think we should put a sign right here that says no vehicle access beyond this point.
Okay.
You know? And basically our rules then would say you're not authorized to drive on that section of the trail. If you pull in there, you need to pull back, turn around, and then come back out the same direction. And so driving would only be allowed in this particular area.
But wouldn't that be less traffic if you let them park there for that time frame? If there's a pull out where you can pull out and then when they leave, they come out? Because otherwise you've got there and back, but now you've got there, back, there, back.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have any objection to that. Yeah.
Does that answer your questions,
yes,
Chief?
Yes,
thank you. Any other comments from the public?
a question. Andy Dickinson, D-I-C-K-I-N-S-O-N, 4665 Washington Ave. The amphitheater, doing 15 years of bands and everything else, that's facing right towards them properties. What kind of sound and music's gonna be going there? We're talking about larger equipment and stuff. If you ever live next to somewhere that plays a lot of music, you're gonna have a lot of pissed off neighbors. I'm just saying, I don't know what's the time frame of that and the direction they've got it towards the houses. It's probably good if they're gonna be listening to it. They probably don't wanna be listening to that stuff every night. You know what I'm saying? As far as time frames, stuff like that. So a comment I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? Having none, I'll have someone introduce the resolution.
I'll introduce resolution number 2023-28.
Resolution number 2023-28 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer to approve the plans and specifications for Generations Park and authorization to go out for bid.
I recommend adopting resolution number 2023-28 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the plans and specifications for Generations Park and authorization to go out for bid. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 9. Resolution 2023-29 to approve program agreement with the Nebraska Department of Transportation for the North Blair Bypass Project. Mr. Shoemaker.
Yay. Evening, Mayor, Council members. I have a couple items for you this evening, both related to the what is now, we're calling it Blair North Bypass. Up on the screen here, you have a map showing the what is probably going to be, has been the preferred alternative for that segment of bypass from Highway 75 to Highway 30. In discussions with the mayor over the past couple months, it was decided that we wanted to go ahead and start moving forward with this project, as it is a lengthy project, as we saw with the Blair South bypass. The corridor that we're currently working on was finally settled on and was started and designed back in 2012. So it gives you an idea of how long the process will probably take. And this particular project is going to be a lot larger. The intersection of the Blair North Bypass starts at the same intersection as the as 28th Street, goes around the north side of Blair, stays short of the Fish Creek. This is all protected with levee, so we don't want to get into that. And as I told the Transportation Committee this evening, the issue of how we get through the area with UP Railroad and ultimately tie into Highway 30 is going to be probably the biggest challenge of this project. We'll spend more time on that issue and that part of the design than probably anything else, as well as with the NEPA. But before we can do anything, we need to do a program agreement with the Nebraska Department of Transportation to make this project eligible for future federal funding. As I've shown in your in the estimate here, you know, within the agreement and mentioned in the memo, today's cost on this is about $46 million for construction. Probably by the time this actually gets to being built, it's probably $60, $65 million. And let's face it, for a community of 15,000 people, that's probably just not realistic. So we are going to have to see and search out for additional federal funding for this project if it's become a reality. To do that, we need to have a be a part of the state transportation improvement program, or what they call the STIP. And so the first part of that process is for the City of Blair City Council to approve an agreement with the Nebraska Department of Transportation, which is in your council packet this evening, to create a project on that STIP. And then at that point in time, follow all the rules and regulations it is to for eligibility for federal funding and allow us to move forward with the actual in the future for funding applications for federal funding. And actually, your next agenda item is going to talk about that very item right off the bat. So what I have for you this evening is the program agreement with the NDOT for the Blair North Bypass, as outlining everything as I just mentioned. And so if the City Council is inclined to approve this this evening, it'll get sent to the DOT. Once they approve it, then we'll be ready to start moving forward with consultant selection for the preliminary design and NEPA process. That alone is about $1.7 million that we're looking at spending just to get that part of the process done, which will take pretty much the next 6 to 8 years to complete that phase of the work as anticipated. There's not anything major. Most of the ground that we're crossing is tilled. But as I mentioned to the Transportation Committee this evening, there's a couple of waterways we have to cross. There's obviously the UP railroad issue. And then you're going to have some properties that are going to get split in two. And so those will all need to be addressed as part of the design process going through. It was also brought up during the committee meeting. A lot of this area is in the floodplain. So this roadway will have to be designed and elevated out of that floodplain. And we'll have to do a flood study to verify that it does not have any negative impact to the rest of the floodplain. So for you this evening, I'm presenting to you a resolution for approval of the a proposed agreement with the DOT to start the process of this north bypass and allow us to get going on it. This was presented to again to the Transportation Committee this evening for their review and recommendation. Are there any questions for me?
The cost of the project, does that include acquiring the land for all of this, or is that just construction?
That's just construction, Councilman. That's just, yeah. So, I mean, ultimate cost of this thing in future dollars is probably $75 to $80 million. You spent a little over $1 million acquiring the right-of-way just for the Blair South bypass. This is four times that long.
Because what's the actual length of that?
Two.
I don't have that off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Roughly.
It's a couple of miles. It's over a couple of miles, mm-hmm. But the south segment is short of a mile.
Okay.
I think this is at least 3 miles.
Gotcha. Okay.
Definitely. And obviously, this segment here, the purpose of this segment is to have a major impact to truck traffic downtown. Mm-hmm. As many of you have noticed, the farm to market, and even just over the road drivers, because you have Highway 30, Highway 75 converging through Blair. Most of the truckers have to use the highway through the downtown area to allow to gain access either to our local markets or pass through the city just as a part of their driving takes them. So,
has there been any thought or thinking of where it joined 75 that it would go on around to like 91 so it'd get a lot of that traffic off 91 and on to that bypass?
Actually, Councilman, there has been an analysis of that. Unfortunately, the topography of that almost makes that prohibitive.
Yeah.
You have some major hills. I mean, the hill we're cutting right now for the current project, you multiply that many, many times to do that. So yeah, Corps of Engineers actually required us as a part of our initial EIS analysis of this proposed project to look at that, because that's one of the things they wanted, is to take it from Highway 75 on the west side of Blair, take it down to Highway 30, and it just became it's not constructible.
Wow. Thank you.
Yep. Good question, though. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Any comments from the public? Recommendation from Transportation Committee.
Yes, we did meet on this, and this is a project that is probably long overdue.
Way long.
And when I got on in 2000, we started the South Bypass, and 23 years later, here we are finally getting construction. I'm sure I won't live long enough to see this, but it's sorely, sorely needed. So with that, I'm going to introduce resolution 2023-29.
Second.
Nope.
I got to introduce it first.
That's right. Dang it.
I'm just chomping at the bit.
I'm trying to get this going. Let's go.
Council member, resolution 2023-29 was introduced by Council Member Wolf to approve the program agreement with the Nebraska Department of Transportation on the North Bypass.
Motion to adopt resolution 2023-29 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-29 as presented.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 10, resolution number 2023-30 to approve agreement with FHU for federal funding application assistance. Mr. Shoemaker.
Again, Mayor and Council Members, I present to you tonight a proposal from FHU for just under $50,000 to put together an application, or assist the city in putting together an application, as I've just mentioned, to try to seek federal funding to help pay for the preliminary design and NEPA phase of this work. Again, that's estimated about $1.7 million today. This is not uncommon for the city to do it. The funding that we received for the Blair South Bypass, we contracted with MAPA to help us put together that application. The $6 million grant we got for the intake, we contracted with Olson to help us with putting together that application. So there is a history of doing this, and hopefully we can be just as successful as those projects were in obtaining these funds. There is a tight timetable here. The application is due next month. In fact, if pending the council's approval tonight, if it is approved, we're going to have a meeting, kickoff meeting tomorrow afternoon to get this started right away and get the application put together so we can make our submittal deadline before time expires. So with that, again, this was presented to the Transportation Committee this evening for their review and recommendation. Are there any questions that I can, that you have for me?
Any comments from the public? Transportation Committee?
We did meet on this one, and with the tight timeline and the history of using this, these types of groups, we feel it's vital to approve this. So I would introduce resolution number 2023-30.
Resolution number 2023-30 was introduced by Councilmember Garrard to approve the agreement with FHU for the federal funding application assistance.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-30 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2023-30 as presented. Please vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. City Administrator Report, Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good job, Al. Appreciate you putting those projects together. We're working really hard to spend $3 million on a park, and you're doing a great job again of always spending a lot more, so that's great. Appreciate shepherding these big projects for us. A couple different things. I put in front of you tonight, earlier, a little article that you might find interesting to read sometime. This is an article that was in the Omaha World Herald, I think just yesterday. Deals with zoning regulations and affordable housing. And so I think it is an article worth your reading. There are a few comments in there that I might slightly disagree with. That there is a growing consensus among some of the home builders of trying to blame local municipalities for all the high costs simply because of all of our rules and regulations. But of course, they never really defined exactly which ones they're thinking about. Yes, we want to try to keep people safe. Yes, you should have doors, and yes, you should have handrails and all those kinds of things. Technically, those all fall into these same regulations. But I've gotten to know Jason Thielen, who's the president of this Welcome Home Group. And it is, I think, something worth your while to read. And especially as we continue to go forward and review some of our zoning regulations and start thinking about other things to help spur on housing development here in the Blair area and try to keep it affordable as best we can. These are the good kind of things you should be paying attention to. So got that for you. Just a heads up to all of you that I will be out of town the rest of this week, coming back into town next Sunday. So if you do have any big major issues or problems, please get a hold of Aaron, not me, or Brenda. Both of them will be around to help out. Really excited about how our staffing is going. So again, our new finance director, Lindsay Burton, is back from his vacation. So he's back in the office again this week. And next week, Sarah shows up. And so we're excited to have our finance team all here together and look forward to moving forward with that. As I've reminded you before, we are getting into the meat of the budget process right now. And just kind of a little heads up, I will likely be trying to spend a little bit of time away from the office and concentrating on budget things. So don't be surprised over the next couple weeks if you happen to stop in and I'm either not available or out someplace else. I may go find a room at the library and go hide for a while and crank some numbers out. Again, finally, I just want to simply say thank you to all of you. We've finished up with all the individual 101 meetings. They've been great. Good to get to know those of you that I hadn't had a chance to know very well in the past. Your input, obviously, is going to be critical as we continue to lay out plans for the future and especially work on these budget details. And so, more to come. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 12 is going to fall to either council member Ferrari or Paulson.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second to adjourn the meeting. Register your vote. Rick didn't even get a chance.
Take a breath, man.
You gotta move, buddy.
I'm impatient tonight.
That's all right. You're allowed to be.
Did somebody not vote?
This guy was holding it up, but.
Meeting adjourned.